It's good to be here, as I said. I have done a lot of ministry in Jamaica, and I want to inform you a little of what I have done. I've been ministering in Fern for the past 33 years. As Brother David tells you, that I was saved in 1974, when under his ministry, under God's banner. I got saved. When I looked at myself, I was just, I won't tell you my age now, but I was just only 16 years of age. And then I asked myself, what am I really living for? There were so many things to explore in the world, but then I rather Jesus. And I took on Jesus in my life. And now it is 43 years. You know, when I just got saved, you know, the people of the community would, you know, say that we are not going to last long. Two weeks. And praise God, it's not me, but it is God who allows me to be continuing serving him. Now, I've been ministering the church at Smithfield from 2004 to 2011. We'll go there every Sunday, either in the morning or in the evening. But when our bus that we had, that used to transport us, was taken away from us by the mission board, we had to seek refuge only at Fern. Therefore, the church at Smithfield was closed for a very long time, and it is now closed. But it's our desire, when we return tomorrow morning, tomorrow evening, we'll be going back to Smithfield to reopen that church. And so we want to ask for your prayerful support in helping us. We'll be taking a taxi. But we want to be independent, because when you take a taxi to go to Smithfield, it's around 25 miles from Fern. You could cover 25 miles in 10 minutes up here. But down here it takes 1.5 hours because of the road surface, which is very poor. So when we take that taxi to Smithfield, we have to have a scheduled time, certain time that we have to leave. And so we won't be able to go and meet with the other people and invite them to church. So when we have our own vehicle now, then we can interact more with the Smithfield people and get them back, because most of them are at home. Some have gone to other churches, and some are pending their desire. So it's our desire for us to be there with them every Sunday morning, whether two Sundays in the morning and two Sundays in the evening, as well as at Fern. So pray for us, and we pray that you will, you know, give us your financial support also. This morning we are going to be looking into God's word from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It is from verse 1 to 21, but I won't read so much. I will read from verse 14 to verse 21. From verse 14 to verse 21. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who had reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and had given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. But then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Verse 21, for he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray, God, that you will take control of our service today. Lord, it's not my word, but it's your word. We pray that it may be, it will reach the heart of those, Lord, who have not yet been saved. Father, we pray that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart will be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Bless the day and thank you for the day as we humbly ask. I will be speaking this morning briefly on the topic, the apostles' motivation. The apostles' motivation. My text verse is verse 14. For the love of Christ constrained us, because we thus judge if one died for all, then were all dead. This morning, as we consider ourselves, now if a meter could be designed to measure your zeal for Christ, would you submit to its evaluation, or would you resist? Do you live for Christ, or do you live to achieve mere earthly goal? There are some people today, when they have achieved certain things in life, they say that they are stepping up in life. In Jamaica, we have a lot of young people today who even still going to school, but they have many cars and they have big houses. We wonder, where do they get all these cars and houses? And I'm working so long and I can't even buy a bike. But they do a thing like what we call scamming. I don't know if you understand scamming. They would call people from the senior citizens from America, and they would invite them and tell them that they win some lotto or lottery, or they win $1 million, and then they should send money to pay for the tax. And when they send 1,000 or 10,000 or more, they never hear from them. And so that is what they call stepping up in life. But the question is asked, is your life lived for yourself or for God? What motivates you? Why are you here in church this morning? Why are you serving God for 50 years, 60 years? It is not because we have a desire for ourselves, but it is because of the love of Christ which constrained us. I could have given up a long time, but it is God's love. In St. Mark 8, verse 36 tells us, and verse 37, he said, for what shall it profit a man to gain this whole world and to lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his life? We look further and see the apostles suffered severe persecution and ultimately martyrdom. Yet their zeal never failed or falter. They keep serving God. Paul confessed that he suffered the loss of all things for Christ and testified, for to me to live is Christ. Philippians 1 verse 21, and to die is gain. In 2 Corinthians 4, he mentioned his suffering, which is further reported in chapter 11 verses 24 to 33, describing it as bearing about in the body, that the dying of the Lord Jesus. In chapter 4 and verse 10, he says, yet he did not despair, nor was he downcast. Now what motivates such endurance and zeal in the Apostle Paul? It's not because he was showboating. It's not because of self or the material things of the world. It is far greater than what the world has to offer. It is the love of Christ which constrained him. Today we must be motivated. Yet he did not despair with all what happened. Was it neither was he downcast? What motivate him? And should not that motivate us today? Should not that motivate each of us to selfless service for Christ? Now let us look on the apostles' motivation. We look back and we saw Stephen was stoned to death because of the love of Christ, because of not himself, but because the love of Christ constrained him. But I remember before his death, he knelt down and said, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." We look on Peter. Peter was crucified upside down. It was not because he wanted to die and to show his friend that he can die. Nobody wants to die. But because of the love of Christ, which constrained him. We look on John the Baptist. John the Baptist went and he told Herod the truth. He said, "You should not have married your brother Philip's wife. It's a shame, it's a sin." Next thing, his head was cut off and placed in a charger as a reward to a little girl. How sad it is. Then we look back on Philip. Philip was stoned to death because of the love of Christ. We look on James. He was killed with a sword pushing through him. What a awful death it is. John Mark was burnt with hot oil. Luke, the apostle who wrote the book of Acts and Luke, he was hanged. Thomas was killed with a sword. Mark was drugged on the road and his life was cut out of him. All these suffers martyrdom because of the love of Christ which constrained them. We look back at Paul, at Saul. Before Saul became Paul, he was terrible. And so God had to lay roadblocks to show them that he is in charge of our lives. I'm going to explain what roadblocks is in Jamaica. In your country, your road is very nice. All the back roads are very nice. But in Jamaica, the roads are in a bad state. And so people will demonstrate when the roads are in a terrible condition or they can't get any water. They would put all sorts of debris across the road that you who are driving cannot go forward or backward. And so it is to get the attention of the government so they can improve the water system or the road surface. So that is what Jamaican does when they need the attention of the government. Now the Lord had to do some roadblock himself. And so not only did he roadblock some people, but he see blocked some people also. The first that comes to mind is Paul. Saul. When Saul was threatening the church that he would go and destroy the church and anyone he found calling upon the name of the Lord, he would put them into prison. God had to stop him on the way. While he was on his way, a light from heaven shone in his eyes that he could not see. And from there, his life was changed. So God had to show Paul that he is in control of the human race. He could have killed him. But God rather not the death of a sinner, but that sinner should come to repentance. The next person that comes to mind is Jonah. God sent Jonah to go to Nineveh. But Jonah instead went a different direction. And so God had to send a storm on the sea to stop the ship from sailing so that Jonah could gain his attention. He could have killed Jonah, but then he wanted Jonah to do the ministry. So that is the second sea, this is the first sea block. The second one was Balaam. Where God told Balaam, Balak said to Balaam, "Go on, curse God's people." Balaam said, "I cannot curse God's people because they are God's people." Balak offered Balaam reward and said, "If you come and curse God's people, you will get a good amount of riches, wealth." The next morning, Balaam inquired of God, should I go? The Lord said, right, you can go. But the Lord was displeased with Balaam. As he went on his ass, an angel was sent to roadblock him. When the ass saw the angel, it bolted into the field. And so Balaam had to put back the ass on the road. The Bible said the angel went a little further, where there was, two rocks between. When the ass saw the angel, it crushes Balaam's leg against the wall. Then that was the second hit that the ass got. Then went a little further. The angel stood up with a flaming sword in his hand and said, you're not going to pass here. And so the ass lie down and he got another hit. Then we heard his first ass that talks to man. He talks to his boss and said, why are you hitting me? But because there was an angel in front, roadblocking him. The ass could see the angel, but Balaam could not see it. And so God saved, Balaam's life was saved because of the ass. The next roadblock was God's people coming from God's people coming and reaching the Red Sea, coming from Egypt. Right. And when they reached the Red Sea, the Lord said to Moses, stretch your rod across the sea. The water were divided, and the people of Israel were able to walk on dry land. When they reached over on the other side, then Pharaoh's army came and also went in the middle of the sea. But God said to Moses, no, there's a roadblock here. Stretch your rod now across that sea. And so the water were divided and they were all drowned. So we see here where God had to set roadblocks for people when they disobey him. We pray that God will not allow, we may not allow the Lord to set roadblocks for us. Sometimes God will have to allow something to happen to some people so that it will get their attention. I heard a lady says, I would never come to church unless God does something for me. And so God showed her a sign, and when she got that sign, it was not pretty, but then she remembered and she came back to church. And so God will have to do something that will draw our attention that we can come to know him. Paul went through a lot of things. He spent most of his time writing letters in jail. Paul, after he confesses his sins to God, all his friends became his enemies. And there was one time when a lot of them sat down and said they are not going to eat and drink until they what? Kill their former friends. Now, when you start to serve God, your friends that used to be will become your enemies. And Paul escaped over the wall. Now, in Paul's mission and missionary journey, he went to a lot of places. The first place that he went to was Lystra, where he was stoned. Actually, in Jamaica we say the word nearly dead, but it's only either you die or you are not dead. And so he was down there, and he escaped. And what he did, he went to other places like Iconium, he went to Derbe, and he came back to the place where he was stoned, seriously stoned. How many of us have that desire, that zeal for God? How many of us today would go back to the place where we, let me use the word, nearly dead? We would not have even think about that place. But it was not because, Paul was showing off, but because there was something that held him together, and it was the love of Christ which constrained him. How many of us have that zeal today? If you were told or threatened by somebody that if you go to church, they're going to kill you, how many of us would have to go? None of us want to die, so maybe we would have stopped. But Paul was constrained by the love of Christ. The love of God is measureless, it's true and it's kind. And so with all of this, all of the beating that Paul got in jail, and the serpent that came upon him as he was shipwrecked, he still had that desire for God. How many of us today have that zeal for Christ? How many of us will say, as Paul says in Philippians 1 verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Praise the Lord. I said to myself, I don't want to die. I want to go to heaven and rest. But somebody says, nobody wants to die, but everybody wants to go to heaven. But I said to myself, God, if only I could stay down here and enjoy some of earthly things. But then if I know that I'm going to shift from God, I turn away from God, then I can say, as this John Divine says, "So come quickly, Lord Jesus." If we know tomorrow we are going to die and go to hell, and today we'll go to heaven, let's all say, "Lord, come quickly." And so I said, I don't want to die. I want to be like Enoch. And all of us have that desire today. And I want to be like Elijah. And so, you know, the Bible said the death of our sins, you know, in the presence of God, God's people, it is nice to be a part of God's kingdom. It's God, nice to be for, you know, the death of Christ, God's children, is something that is an honor. When you die in Christ, it's an honor. "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Here we see Paul describing himself. He cited three motivating forces that motivates him. It's not money. It's not houses. It's not car. The world today is seeking after the material things of this world. The world today is grabbing on to the things of the world. But Paul was not one who was, he was educated, yes, but he was not one who was rich. Remember, his trade was he was a tent maker. And so with all that he was doing, he was not getting any money. He was not getting paid. But there was something that he knew that he would get. He would get a reward someday from God. Many times we work and we don't see what we are working for on earth, but our reward shall be great. And therefore, I encourage you to keep serving God. Continue to serve the Lord, because it pays to serve the Lord. Paul cited three motivating forces. First, though the body is destroyed by suffering for Christ, we have a building. Praise the Lord. We have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, as we look at verse 1. Second, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. Verse 10. Third, the love of Christ constraineth or control us. And so it's not what the world required of us, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. My friend, the devil is walking around seeking, as a roaring lion, seeking about who he may devour. But I have good news for you, and I have bad news for the devil. The bad news is we have the Lion of Judah, who shall break, the conquering Lion of Judah, who shall break every chain and give us the victory again and again. So while the devil thinks he's doing, we look on the devil as, we say, little devil, massive God. Tiny devil, big God. So we have a God who is greater than all. And the Bible says his ways is higher than our ways, and his thoughts than our thoughts. And so as the devil shows you the beauty, as he look on the Lord and show him the glory and the kingdom, and say, "All these things I will give to you." God owns the world. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I want to encourage you to be on your guard. I notice in your church today there are no windows, but as you look at the picture, you see a lot of windows in our church. I always tell our folks that be careful of the devil, because he's like a roaring lion. If you close the door on the devil, he's coming through the window. You have to close the window. You have to close him out. The Bible says, if we submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, he will flee from us. But if we continue to feed the devil, that's what he wants. The devil is like a roaring lion. I always said to all people, I said, if you ever happen to come into your house one day and see a little fire in the corner of your house, what do? You get excited. There's nothing more beautiful like a house on fire. What are you going to do? Are you going to sit down and watch the house? You know, the little fire is going to become a big blaze, and it's going to burn down your house. The devil is just like that. He's contagious. And if you don't be careful, if you are not careful, the devil will destroy your life. So resist him. Now, the love of Christ, Christ's love for his people, is often repeated in the New Testament. And it is cited as a reason for selfless devotion to Christ. Paul wrote in Galatians 2 verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live, I live by faith of the Son. Life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. None can separate God's people from the love of Christ. Nothing in this world, no material things. The devil has a way of sugarcoating things. He have some beautiful things that he sugarcoat with bitter things. And he sugarcoat it with all sorts of chocolate. Those of you who love chocolates and ice cream, and so you be careful of the devil. Because underneath that ice cream, it's poisonous. And the devil is catching many people. So we must beware of the devil. There are signs that we put in Jamaica that says, beware of bad dogs. Now I'm putting a sign, beware of the devil. He comes in every area. He comes in different forms and ways. He came into the garden and said to the woman, what? Should not we, you eat all the fruit? The woman said, no, that's Eve. We may eat of all the fruit except one in the garden. And he was so subtle that he get around the woman until he deceived the woman. The devil is like that. He's a deceiver. We must be careful. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. For your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion. And so we must be careful, because the devil appears in every era, in every corner, in every crevices in our lives. And as I said, if we don't resist him, he will not flee from us. The Bible says in Romans 8:34, for it's the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, in Ephesians 3 verse 19. Now in the hymnists, no one I wrote, I love your songs this morning. You know, they sound so nice. But there we see the hymnists wrote, identify Paul, especially Paul's motivation. When he wrote, were the old realms of nature mine, were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, and my all. Do these demands? Do you meet these demands? Paul here expounded the love, explaining why he was so taken up, why he had so much zeal for Christ. Now, if God can save Paul, He can save anybody. If God can save me, He can save anybody. Because I was that wandering sheep that went astray. I could not find my way until the Lord found me. I was like the prodigal boy. I had wasted, even though I was 16, but I have wasted many precious years. I was given a job to feed swine, which nobody wants to feed. That's the worst animals you can ever think of. The devil gave him that job in that country. He left all the beauties at home. He left all his father's care. And he decided to go on his own because of money that he got from his father. Now the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. But we must be careful how we budget our money, lest when it is finished, we don't have anything. All his money finished. And he was gotten a job. He got a job to feed swine. But when he looked back at himself and see where he was coming from, he said, I will arise and will go back to my father and said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, I am no more worthy to be called thy son, but make me one of thine hired servant. I was like that prodigal boy. I returned to my father. I went to my father and he says, whosoever cometh to me, I will in no wise cast them out, whosoever they may be. God will not reject us. God will not refuse us. His father accepted his son, even though he still had the stench on him. His clothes were dirty and his lifestyle had changed. Was said, this my son was dead and is found, was dead and is found. This my son was lost and is found, was dead and is alive. And he asked, he said, give him the best robe and put a ring around his finger because we're going to have a party because my son is alive. God will not reject us. It doesn't matter where we are coming from. The Lord will receive us unto himself. Paul cited 5 things explaining why he was so zealous, why he was so constrained, why he was so zealous for God. The first thing that Paul cited was Christ's love wrought our deliverance from the consequences of sin. Romans 6 verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. None of us here were born Christians. All of us were born sinners. Romans 3 verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were not born Christians. We come to know Jesus Christ. And his love constrained us while we are still serving the Lord. Somebody say, I serve a risen Savior who is in the world today. When I looked at Brother David, he has been serving the Lord for a many long time. When I look at the old pastor, a very long time. What do we find? It's not money, but it is the love of Christ. There's something much better than gold. I think it was Peter said, silver and gold have we none to the layman. But such as I have, we will give in the name of Jesus. There's something better than what the world is offering. A song sings, I rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'm afraid today our young people are drawn from the church. There are so many pleasures out there that is attracting. But as I said, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. There will be coming a day when there will be a judgment. Some people say there is no hell. There's no heaven. But I want to say, serve God in spirit and in truth. That if that day comes and there's no hell and there's no heaven, you'll be all right. But if you don't serve God and that day comes and there's a hell, I'm afraid you will be going to a devil's hell. So let's serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Praise the Lord. Be motivated for Christ. Be as a soldier for the Lord. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2, we must suffer hardness as a good soldier. It's not an easy road, but we have a God to glorify. We have a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And so with that in mind, we will continue to serve God because of his love for us. His love provided not only a substitute to suffer divine judgment in our place, but also the motivation to be a living sacrifice. Romans 12 verses 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Don't be attracted to this world, but be conformed by the renewing of your mind. We must let go from the things that we love in this world. Give up the things that we love in this world and serve the Lord with gladness. Such love, having delivered us from wrath, transformed us from mere physical existence into a spiritual life in which everything is known for its spiritual importance. Verses 16 and 17 of 2 Corinthians 5. God ordained and orchestrated all this in order to reconcile us to himself, to bring us to himself. And so, if you are far from God, he can reconcile you to himself. Verses 18 and 19. Once reconciled to God by the love of Christ, we become his ambassador, by whom reconciliation is urged upon others. Verses 20 and 21. These results of divine love controlled the apostles while they were able to be martyrdom, prompting them to abandon this world, to live as pilgrim and die as martyr. A big question today that I'm going to ask you. What measure of this zeal for Christ do you possess? What measure of zeal for Christ do you possess? This, when we read the Bible, it is true. Every word in the Bible, I believe it is true. And some people will say, oh, the story of Paul is a fictitious story. And some will say, oh, the Bible is not true. But every word in the Bible, it is true. And I believe the word of God in every era from Genesis to Revelation, everything will come to pass because God's words are true. We look on Paul and see the consequences, the result of Paul's ministry. He could have died, but God sustained his life. But now every good thing must come to an end. Every good thing must come to an end. We have enjoyed America so much, and our time will come where we have to go tomorrow. Your time will come when your life will be gone, to be promoted to glory. And so Paul was able to give up and say, all right, it's no time for me to die. I said, none of us in here don't want to die. It doesn't matter what complication we have. But Paul was ready to die because he knew that someday he would be with the Lord. And that is what prompted him to say in 2 Timothy 4 verses 6, 7 and 8, for I am now ready. Are you ready? If Christ should come now, are you ready? Are you ready to meet the Lord? It's not about mere curiosity. It's not about, what we do in the church. It's something more than what the church has to offer. It is the glory of God that awaits us. We must be ready. There's a song we used to sing in Jamaica. We must be ready, waiting to leave this world. Are you ready? For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. We all will finish our work one day. All of us work will come to an end one day. I want to say to you today, 100 years from now, where will you be? Where will you be? In Jamaica, they live 70 years and not much over. In America, they live until 100 and had. But 100 years from now, where will you spend your eternity? Question yourself, am I going to be with the Lord? And dear, shall I ever be with him, enjoying the glory of the Lord? Or am I going to be in hell? It's for us to think, and seriously, where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He knew exactly where he was going. And a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me. And not to me only, but to all of us who love his appearing. Someday we shall be where Jesus is. It would be good to have all of us here if the rapture should come now. And we are ready, all of us will be going to heaven someday. There shall we ever be with the Lord. Live right. Do that which is right in the sight of God. And remember, it is not about self-will. Peter took his eyes off the Lord, and because of self, he began to sink. We must have our eyes on the Master. We must have our eyes on Jesus. Look straight in his wonderful face. For when he comes, we shall be with him. So shall we ever be with the Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Have us in your prayers. In your daily prayer, remember us as we pray for the church. My favorite verse is 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, as I leave it with you. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor shall not be in vain in the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the words today. We thank you, Lord, for you give the word. We pray, God, that the words will find deep roots in the hearts and lives of our people. Help us to, Lord, be motivated. Help us to have that zeal for Christ. Help us to have that desire to serve the Lord with our whole heart. Lord, that when you comes, we can say, as John said, Lord, so come quickly. Father, we thank you for each one today. And as we travel to go to our different places, Lord, we pray for your direction. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you will be the old soul of our lives. And that you will control us with your love. That when the devil comes, we may commit ourselves to the Lord. Resist him. And he will flee from us. We bless your name, Lord. We thank you for everything again. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.